Chapter 54. Involves a critical position. Who's that? Apostrophe apostrophe inward bridles, opening the door a little way, with the chain up, and peeping out, shading the candle with his hand. Open the door, apostrophe replied a man outside. It's the officers from Bow Street, as was sent to today. Apostrophe, much comforted by this assurance, Brittles opened the door to its full width, and confronted a portly man in a great coat, who walked in, without saying anything more, and wiped his shoes on the mat, as coolly as if he lived there. Just send somebody out to relieve my mate, will you, young man? Apostrophe apostrophe said the officer, he's in the gig, a minding the prad. Have you got a coach us here, that you could put it up in, for 5 or 10 minutes? Apostrophe apostrophe, Brittles replying in the affirmative, and pointing out the building, the portly man stepped back to the garden gate, and helped his companion, to put up the gig. While Brittles lighted them, in a state of great admiration. This done, they returned to the house, and, being shown into a parlor, took off their great coats and hats, and showed like what they were. The man who had knocked at the door, was a stout personage of middle height, aged about 50, with shiny black hair, cropped pretty close, half whiskers, a round face, and sharp eyes. The other was a red-headed bony man, in top boots, with a rather ill-favored countenance, and a turned-up sinister-looking nose. Tell your governor that Blathers and Duff is here, will you? Apostrophe apostrophe said the stouter man, smoothing down his hair, and laying a pair of handcuffs on the table. Oh, good evening, master. Can I have a word or two with you in private, if you please? Apostrophe apostrophe, this was addressed to Mr. Losburn, who now made his appearance. That gentleman, motioning Brittles to retire, brought in the two ladies, and shut the door. This is the lady of the house, apostrophe said Mr. Losburn, motioning towards Mrs. Maley. Mr. Blathers made a bow. Being desired to sit down, he put his hat on the floor, and taking a chair, motioned to Duff to do the same. The latter gentleman, who did not appear quite so much accustomed to good society, or quite so much at his ease in it, one of the two seated himself, after undergoing several muscular affections of the limbs, and the head of his stick into his mouth, with some embarrassment. Now, with regard to this here robbery, master, apostrophe said Blathers. What are the circumstances? Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Losburn, who appeared desirous of gaining time, recounted them at great length, and with much circumlocution. Messrs. Blathers and Duff looked very knowing meanwhile, and occasionally exchanged a nod. I can't say, for certain, till I see the work, of course, apostrophe said Blathers. But my opinion at once is, I don't mind committing myself to that extent, that this wasn't done by a yokel, eh, Duff? Apostrophe apostrophe, certainly not, apostrophe replied Duff. And, translating the word yokel for the benefit of the ladies, I apprehend your meaning to be, that this attempt was not made by a countryman? Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Losburn, with a smile. That's it, master, apostrophe replied Blathers. This is all about the robbery, is it? Apostrophe apostrophe all, apostrophe replied the doctor. Now, what is this, about this here boy, that the servants are a-talking on? Apostrophe apostrophe said Blathers. Nothing at all, apostrophe replied the doctor. One of the frightened servants, chose to take it into his head, that he had something to do with this attempt to break into the house, but it's nonsense. Sheer absurdity. Apostrophe, worry easy disposed of, if it is, apostrophe remarked Duff. What he says is quite correct, apostrophe observed Blathers, nodding his head in a confirmatory way, and playing carelessly with the handcuffs, as if they were a pair of castanets. Who is the boy? What account does he give of himself? Where did he come from? He didn't drop out of the clouds, did he, master? Apostrophe apostrophe, of course not, apostrophe replied the doctor, with a nervous glance at the two ladies. I know his whole history, but we can talk about that presently. You would like, first, to see the place where the thieves made their attempt, I suppose?
Certainly, rejoined Mr. Blathers. We had better inspect the premises first, and examine the servants afterwards. That's the usual way of doing business.
Lights were then procured, and Messrs. Blathers and Duff, attended by the native constable, Brittles, Giles, and everybody else in short, went into the little room at the end of the passage, and looked out at the window, and afterwards went round by way of the lawn, and looked in at the window, and after that, had a candle handed out to inspect the shutter with, and after that, a lantern to trace the footsteps with, and after that, a pitchfork to poke the bushes with. This done, amidst the breathless interest of all beholders, they came in again, and Mr. Giles and Brittles were put through a melodramatic representation of their share in the previous night's adventures, which they performed some 6 times over, contradicting each other in not more than 1 important respect the first time, and in not more than 12 the last. This consummation being arrived at, Blathers and Duff cleared the room, and held a long council together, compared with which, for secrecy and solemnity, a consultation of great doctors on the knottiest point in medicine would be mere child's play. Meanwhile, the doctor walked up and down the next room in a very uneasy state, and Mrs. Maylie and Rose looked on, with anxious faces. Upon my word, he said, making a halt, after a great number of very rapid turns, I hardly know what to do. Surely, said Rose, the poor child's story, faithfully repeated to these men, will be sufficient to exonerate him.
I doubt it, my dear young lady, said the doctor, shaking his head. I don't think it would exonerate him, either with them, or with legal functionaries of a higher grade. What is he, after all, they would say? A runaway. Judged by mere worldly considerations and probabilities, his story is a very doubtful one.
You believe it, surely?
Interrupted Rose.
I believe it, strange as it is. And perhaps I may be an old fool for doing so, rejoined the doctor, but I don't think it is exactly the tale for a practical police officer, nevertheless.
Why not?
Demanded Rose. Because, my pretty cross-examiner, replied the doctor. Because, viewed with their eyes, there are many ugly points about it. He can only prove the parts that look ill, and none of those that look well. Confound the fellows, they will have the way and the wherefore, and will take nothing for granted. On his own showing, you see, he has been the companion of thieves for some time past. He has been carried to a police officer, on the charge of picking a gentleman's pocket. He has been taken away, forcibly, from that gentleman's house, to a place which he cannot describe or point out, and of the situation of which he has not the remotest idea. He is brought down to Chertsey, by men who seem to have taken a violent fancy to him, whether he will or no, and is put through a window to rob a house, and then, just at the very moment, when he is going to alarm the inmates, and so do the very thing that would set him all to rights, there rushes into the way a blundering dog of a half-bred butler, and shoots him, as if on purpose, to prevent his doing any good for himself. Don't you see all this?
I see it, of course, replied Rose, smiling at the doctor's impetuosity. But still I do not see anything in it to criminate the poor child.
Replied the doctor, of course not. Bless the bright eyes of your sex. They never see, whether for good or bad, more than one side of any question, and that is, always, the one which first presents itself to them.
Having given vent to this result of experience, the doctor put his hands into his pockets, and walked up and down the room with even greater rapidity than before. The more I think of it, apostrophe said the doctor, the more I see that it will occasion endless trouble and difficulty if we put these men in possession of the boy's real story. I am certain it will not be believed. And even if they can do nothing to him in the end, still the dragging it forward, and giving publicity to all the doubts that will be cast upon it, must interfere, materially, with your benevolent plan of rescuing him from misery. Apostrophe, oh! What is to be done? Apostrophe cried Rose. Dear, dear! With it they sent for these people? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, indeed! Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Mrs. Maley. I would not have had them here, for the world. Apostrophe, all I know is, apostrophe, said Mr. Losburn, at last, sitting down with a kind of desperate calmness, that we must try and carry it off with a bold face. The object is a good one, and that must be our excuse. The boy has strong symptoms of fever upon him, and is in no condition to be talked to any more. That's one comfort. We must make the best of it, and if bad be the best, it is no fault of ours. Come in. Apostrophe, well, master, apostrophe, said Blathers, entering the room followed by his colleague, and making the door fast, before he said any more. This weren't a put-up thing. Apostrophe, and what the devil's a put-up thing? Apostrophe, apostrophe, demanded the doctor, impatiently. We call it a put-up robbery, ladies, apostrophe, said Blathers, turning to them, as if he pitied their ignorance, but had a contempt for the doctors, when the servants is in it. Apostrophe, nobody suspected them, in this case, apostrophe, said Mrs. Maley. Worry likely not, ma'am, apostrophe, replied Blathers, but they might have been in it, for all that. Apostrophe, more likely on that worry account, apostrophe, said Duff. We find it was a town hand, apostrophe, said Blathers, continuing his report, for the style of work is first rate. Apostrophe, worry pretty indeed it is, apostrophe, remarked Duff, in an undertone. There was two of them in it, apostrophe, continued Blathers, and they had a boy with them, that's plain from the size of the window. That's all to be said at present. We'll see this lad, that you've got upstairs at once, if you please. Apostrophe, perhaps they will take something to drink first, Mrs. Maley? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the doctor, his face brightening, as if some new thought had occurred to him. Oh, to be sure, apostrophe, exclaimed Rose, eagerly. You shall have it immediately, if you will. Apostrophe, why, thank you, miss. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Blathers, drawing his coat sleeve across his mouth. It's dry work, this sort of duty. Anything that's handy, miss. Don't put yourself out of the way, on our accounts. Apostrophe, what shall it be? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked the doctor, following the young lady to the sideboard. A little drop of spirits, master, if it's all the same, apostrophe, replied Blathers. It's a cold ride from London, ma'am, and I always find that spirits comes home warmer to the feelings. Apostrophe, this interesting communication was addressed to Mrs. Maley, who received it very graciously. While it was being conveyed to her, the doctor slipped out of the room. Ah! Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Blathers. Not holding his wine glass by the stem, but grasping the bottom between the thumb and forefinger of his left hand, and placing it in front of his chest, I have seen a good many pieces of business like this, in my time, ladies. Apostrophe, that crackdown in the back lane at Edmonton, Blathers, apostrophe, said Mr. Duff, assisting his colleague's memory. That was something in this way, weren't it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, rejoined Mr. Blathers. That was done by Conky Chickweed, that was. Apostrophe, you always gave that to him, replied Duff. It was the family pet, I tell you. Conky hadn't any more to do with it than I had. Apostrophe, get out. Apostrophe, apostrophe, retorted Mr. Blathers. I know better. Do you mind that time when Conky was robbed of his money, though? What a start that was. Better than any novel book I ever see. Apostrophe, what was that? apostrophe, anxious to encourage any symptoms of good humor in the unwelcome visitors. It was a robbery, miss, that hardly anybody would have been down upon, apostrophe said Blathers. This here conky chickweed, apostrophe, conky means nosy, ma'am, apostrophe interposed Duff. Of course the lady knows that, don't she? Apostrophe demanded Mr. Blathers. Always interrupting, you are, partner. This here conky chickweed, miss, kept a public house over Battle Bridge Way, and he had a cellar, where a good many young lords went to see cockfighting, and badger drawing, and that, and a worry intellectual manner the sports was conducted in, for I've seen them often. He weren't one of the family, at that time, and one night he was robbed of 327 guineas in a canvas bag, that was stole out of his bedroom in the dead of night, by a tall man with a black patch over his eye, who had concealed himself under the bed, and after committing the robbery, jumped slap out of window, which was only a story high. He was worry quick about it. But Conkey was quick too, for he fired a blunderbuss arter him, and roused the neighborhood. They set up a hue and cry, directly, and when they came to look about him, found that Conkey had hit the robber, for there was traces of blood, all the way to some palings a good distance off, and there they lost him. However, he had made off with the blunt, and, consequently, the name of Mr. Chickweed, licensed whittler, appeared in the Gazette among the other bankrupts, and all manner of benefits and subscriptions, and I don't know what all, was got. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.